it's not going to be easy.
What's easy is floating downstream.
What's easy is being like everyone else.
You were made to stand out.
You were put here for a reason.
Normal isn't working anymore.
Look around.
Look around at the people who are giving you advice.
Do they have the results you're looking for?
I'm proposing a radical change.
It's time to fight.
It's time to fight the current.
Hello, this is Danny Campisi, and welcome to the Fight the Current podcast. I'm joined in the studio today with my co-host, best friend, and business partner, Aaron Thomas. Today, we're also joined by Mr. Greg Johnson. Greg is a serial entrepreneur, multimillionaire, and incredible family man who now devotes his life to helping others achieve the same. We are so excited to have Greg on the show. Okay, Greg Johnson, thank you for joining us on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Danny.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So I know you're on an extended vacation. So tell us a little bit about that. I think you're in California now. I know it's 1:39 a.m. our time in Pennsylvania. What time is it there, Greg?
Well, I think we're a three-hour time difference. So I guess we're going on 11 o'clock here. Okay. And yeah, we've been traveling. I think we're scheduled all together for about 23 days. And we flew from Pennsylvania out to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where we connected with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law who left Pennsylvania they're on a 40-some day trip after my sister-in-law retired.
That's
and
awesome.
We connected with them and joined in them for 20-some days. And it's been a pretty cool experience. We started in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, went to Banff, which is a really cool little town. It's like a ski resort town in Swiss Alps. It was just unbelievable. Then we went through the Canadian Rockies, went over to Jasper and Kamloops first, and then Jasper, and then over to British Vancouver and to Victoria Island. Saw the Bouchard Gardens, which, oh my gosh, they were one of the most amazing gardens I've ever seen. We're members over at Longwood Gardens in Eastern PA, and that's pretty spectacular if you've ever been there or have heard anything about it. It's just an amazing, amazing garden. But this one up here in Canada was just, it just blew us away. I mean, everything was in bloom. We just had such a spectacular time going through that. And then we left there and took a ferry over to there and a ferry down and ended up in Seattle, Washington, and then went down through Portland, Oregon, and down the Pacific Highway Coast, which has been really cool, watching the ocean and different mountains. It's just, in fact, we were commenting today as we were coming across through the, we went down to Klamath, California, and then went through the Redwood Forest. And now we're in Redding, California, getting ready to leave here and go to Lake Tahoe. And then we go from there to Bishop, California. We're going to go through Yosemite and Death Valley, and then over to Utah. I think we're going to plan on going to Mount Zion National Park and Bryce National Park. Then from there, we spent a couple days on the north and south rim of the Grand Canyon. And then from there, we're shooting to Sedona. I think we do a couple days at Lake Powell down to Sedona, Flagstaff, and then over to Albuquerque, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Amarillo, Texas, and we finally end up in Oklahoma City, where we're going to jump on a flight and come back to Pennsylvania, because you can't just travel all the time. You got to get back and, you know, do a few things here every once in a while, you know.
Just the fact that you remember all those things is impressive.
That's incredible, yeah.
That sounds like a dream vacation, Greg.
It has been spectacular. We've been taking tons of pictures. I know I've sent you guys a few, and we've only sent you a few because we've just, I mean, it seems like today especially, it was just awesome. It was 80-some degrees and perfectly blue skies, and we went through the Redwood Forest and hit some small towns and just crystal clear water on the river. And I did some fly fishing the other day. It was really spectacular, and we've seen all kinds of game. I've got some beautiful pictures I plan on blowing up on some bald eagles, and we've had moose and ram, sheep, elk, deer, white-tailed deer, mule deer, bear, sea lions, seals. It's just been spectacular. I mean, it's been amazing, amazing trip so far. So looking forward to the rest of it. Plan on having a great time. I have my beautiful wife with me, and we get along really great with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. So it's been a fun trip. It's been a fun trip. I'd recommend it.
That's awesome, Greg. That is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. It definitely paints a picture. And I know part of the reason of why you're able to do that and take extended vacations, I know a lot of us, we might only get a couple weeks a year where we all from work and we don't really get extended vacation times. And I think a lot of that relates back to your business success. So can you just go into a little bit about what type of businesses have you owned in the past and what exactly motivated you to get into the business sector?
Sure. Well, I went to college back in the day when, you know, if you had a college degree, it was kind of the pathway to I would say additional success. I'm Greek by heritage. So, you know, many families that come from other countries, they start their own business, but many of them, their business tends to own them. And so they want a better life for their kids. So the pathway to that was to go to college. And so I had an interest in healthcare, and my dad worked as a hospital administrator. You know, so he had a lot of contact with people in the medical community. And one of the things they encouraged was, you know, go to a top name school, go to a school that had major credibility. So I ended up going to Cornell University. It was an Ivy League university, and they had my program was in genetics development physiology, and they were number two in the country in that field. So got myself a strong start there. But it was interesting that when I came out, I got a job in healthcare, absolutely loved it. But at the same time, I met my sweetheart, and she wanted to, when we got married, be a stay-at-home mom. And it was pretty evident to me early on that, you know, everybody I worked with, their spouses worked. So it was pretty clear that everybody was going to have two incomes. And seeing I was at that time, I was in the current. I understand you guys have a podcast called Fighting the Current. I was in the current. And to me, it just seemed like being in the current was not the place to be because, you know, I can remember when I got the job, they said you get 2 weeks paid vacation. And I'm like, awesome, you know, that's really great. And I remember going back after the qualifying, I'm like, hey, where are we going on vacation? And I was like, what do you mean? I said, well, you gave me 2 weeks paid vacation. I'm like, how does this work? I mean, do you like give me a credit card? Do I turn in the receipts? I mean, can I go anywhere I want or do you choose it? And they thought I was crazy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you said right here in the manual, 2 weeks paid vacation. And they're like, no, you get 2 weeks off with regular pay. I'm like, well, that's not a paid vacation in my book, you know. So that was just an early indicator that I didn't want to follow everybody else's path. I kind of wanted to chart my own. I've always been that way, though. I can remember as a kid when I got my driver's license, you know, I just wanted the freedom to be able to come and go as I pleased, and never wanted to be like everybody else and have like a normal lifestyle. So once I got that job, I was pretty fortunate. I ended up through an old roommate, met somebody who was only 5 years older than me. I was 24. He was 29, and very successful entrepreneur. And I'm like, he had the lifestyle that I was looking for. And my sweetheart, I remember she actually drove me by his home. He lived in a 10,000 square foot home in Pennsylvania. And I'm like, she's like, man, I'd love to have something like that. And I'm like, hey, that's right up my alley. I'd love to as well. And it took me a few years to kind of connect with this guy and get him to agree to mentor me. But I found that if you want to learn how to do something, learn it from people who have done it and done it well. So he was an entrepreneur. And I'm like, okay, I'm never going to get ahead working for somebody else. But I wasn't a big risk taker. So, you know, I was able, and he told me, said, hey, keep your job. You know, if you're serious, I'll coach you. And it took me about 4 years to get him to really take me on and mentor me. And I kept my job and I started a small business on the side that I failed at miserably, you know, for geez, probably the first 6 years. But I just saw that, you know, I'm like, hey, I went to college for four, actually more than four, because I took some courses when I was in high school. So I'm like, hey, the path to any success you want isn't easy and it's not quick. So I was willing to pay the price. And, you know, so we started a small little business, and it eventually became an international company. Ended up leaving my job in my early 30s. And my wife was able to stay home, be a full-time mom, when we started having a family. So, you know, her dream was to be a mom to our kids, and we felt that was important. I saw the entrepreneurial path as a way to do that. So that little business became kind of a consulting business development company, working with people that kind of wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to be entrepreneurs. They just didn't have either the pathway or the skill set. So I learned an awful lot. I read a lot. I don't have a business degree. I became just by following somebody that was successful. It's kind of like if you want to play a sport or a musical instrument, you find somebody who's proficient and you learn from them. And one of the things he talked to me about was, hey, if you want to change your life, you got to be willing to make some changes. And one of the big pathways he thought was you need to read. And I'm like, well, I can remember being in college reading a ton of books, saying, making a commitment to myself, when I get out of college, I'm never going to read another book again. I remember taking a neuropharmacology course, and they gave us 6 or 7 books and said, we're going to have an exam on these books here in a few weeks. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I made a commitment to myself. I get out of college, I'm never going to read again. And here's my mentor saying, you know, hey, if you learn to read and read the right things, you know, you'll be able to, you know, add another 6 figures to your income. And I'm like, hey, I just like to make the first 6 figures, you know? So that was my first path. I left my job in healthcare, and it was interesting. You know, when you don't need something, it's like the people that recognize you, you have a different attitude and you get different results, kind of gravitate towards you. And I had people that I had done work for while working for someone else actually come back and ask me if I'd do some work for them. Turned them down for a while, and, you know, they kind of harassed me, or I won't say they harassed me, but they kind of edged me on a little bit and said, come on, we'll hold the work. We'll do it at your pace. We just want you to do it. And so I started doing a little bit, and before you know it, I had more work than I could do myself. So hired somebody part-time, and before you know it, that turned into a company. So going on 30 years now. This summer will be 30 years having a healthcare company. I had an international business for 20-some years, kind of concurrently, because one of the things my first mentor taught me was the importance of systems. You know, if you look at franchising, you know, Ray Kroc was a milkshake salesman that turned a little hamburger business into a multinational company with 30,000 streams of income. And that was kind of my mentor's philosophy. You know, you don't want to do it all. He'd say the discretion is the enemy of duplication, and so you want to have a systems-run business. So I learned to run my healthcare company the same way I applied the principles to run my consulting company. And before you know it, that I had 2 successful businesses, and then we started doing a little bit of diversifying, investing in some commercial real estate, and you know, we've been doing that since mid-90s. So it's, you know, we've been fairly successful, I would say. Certainly not the most successful person in the world, but I'd say by most standards, we've done okay. And
I'll say
so. It's been a fun journey,
and it's extremely inspiring just to hear you talk, Greg. Just knowing that you know, research shows that you're in the top 1% income earners. You're completely and 100% debt free, including your house, which is extremely exciting. You know, I feel like you've kind of broken through the stratosphere, so to speak, when it comes to being successful, because I feel like there's so many people, including myself, and you've been a mentor of me and even my parents for many, many years, and a lot of, you know, people that I know. And the story that you have is not always the story that other people have. So my question to you is, what do you think, Greg, that made you different?
Well, I wouldn't say it was any particular talent, because as I stated earlier, I failed basically for 6 years, even having a very strong and successful mentor. And nothing, it seems, if I look back in my life, ever seemed to come easy. High school didn't come easy. I didn't get the greatest grades in high school. In fact, I went to a community college for a couple of years because I didn't have good enough grades to get into that Ivy League school. So the pathway was, hey, I need to buckle down and get some grades. So I sold my car, got rid of my girlfriend, and all I did was study and worked hard to get the grades, and, you know, ended up getting into the Ivy League school and struggled there. I wasn't the sharpest guy, but I stayed with it. And I think probably one of the biggest reasons was I've always been a dreamer, you know, always wanted to have a better life. I remember, you know, in every community, or I won't say every community, but in the communities where there's a Greek church, there's few and far between. So we would drive through these different towns to get to our church on Sunday, and ours happened to be in upstate New York and Rochester, and it was we went through a path where we lived kind of in, I would say, the lower class suburbs, and then we'd go through the nice suburbs, and then we'd go through like every major city where all the mansions and spectacular homes were. And I can remember just as a kid dreaming about that and looking at them and saying, oh man, they were awesome. And I, you know, maybe God just gave me an ability to look at things and to dream. And I remember when I got my car, just going out and driving out in the country and looking at land and thinking, boy, wouldn't it be cool to be able to have a nice property someday, and just that freedom. So I've always been a dreamer. I would say that's number one. Talent has never been my great strength, so I've never been quick to learn anything. I've always struggled at everything I've ever done, whether it was a sport or school or business or anything else. So I would say number one, the dream. Number two, I was hungry. Still hungry today, you know, even with some of the success that we have, and appreciate you saying all those nice things, but we don't really look at ourselves as major successful. We're still just hungry to do more with our life. You know, we're on this planet for a short time, and, you know, everybody has or has the ability to have a great legacy, and some choose to have one, and some don't even recognize that life can leave a legacy. You know, one of the things we've noticed in traveling a lot, you know, particularly out here in California, we're out and took my sister down for a birthday a few months back and spent some time in San Diego. And as we've been driving around out here, you know, we've seen a lot of homeless people. And, you know, you ask yourself, what's the difference between people that, you know, kind of go astray and different things that happen in their life? You know, maybe we've just been blessed that things didn't come easy. And so because they didn't come easy early on, we had to keep that hunger strong. And then we had to develop what I think my one strength has been, and that's persistence. If I would say there's any talent that I do have, it's not that I'm smart. It's not that I'm good at anything. It's that I'm persistent and I've been a dreamer and I'm not afraid of hard work. You know, some people, they look at the clock. People say, ask me over the years, you know, how many hours do you work? And I never really looked at the clock. It was never an issue to me. I've never been afraid to invest in myself or invest in my businesses. My wife has been extremely gracious because we've gone without things early on in our career, but we never went without investing on ourselves and our business. And I had always been part of what I would describe as a self-directed education. Interesting, we went down to Monticello where Thomas Jefferson's home was down in Virginia, and very well-read individual, and he was self-educated. And I found that many of the people that are really successful, you know, you look at the Bill Gates, you look at the Steve Jobs, you look at the Elon Musk, and these are people that, you know, they've all been dreamers, they've all worked hard, they've all been self-educated. And I remember, you know, Aaron and I having a discussion. You know, Aaron, who's one of my hosts here on this call, decided to go to college and then pulled the plug and decided not to. And he introduced me to a young guy who was in an entrepreneurial program. And I heard one of your podcasts earlier, and Aaron asking his professor, you know, hey, how many businesses have you run? And here's a guy teaching entrepreneurship that's never been in business for himself. And there's a different mindset. You know, a corporate guy has to answer to a board of directors, but an entrepreneur, for him, it's personal, or her, it's personal. So it's always been personal for me. There's an emotional investment when it's something that's yours. So I think that persistence, the hard work, having the dream, staying at the task, not worrying about the hours, is because do or die, it's our Super Bowl. It's our chance to succeed at something great if we choose it to be so, but even whether it's great or small, it's still ours. So there's an emotional investment of being an entrepreneur that's, I think, so different than having a job or even working for a big corporation and being a higher executive. I mean, there's some very successful executives make great money and have created great legacies, but I think it's a different emotional investment when you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's awesome, Greg. And I think looking people that look at your life, your lifestyle that you've been able to live these last 30 years, they might look at it and not understand the struggle that you've gone through. And a couple things that you've said is hunger and persistence. Can you go back to those 6 years when you started your company? Can you go through those 6 years of failure and just kind of go through what made you stay so persistent and hungry? And what happened during those years? What did you learn from those failures?
Well, I would have to say for me, especially, it was an emotional roller coaster. You know, there were days I was up and days I was down, extremely down. And the things that got me to go up, as I said earlier, I was a dreamer, so, and I was around people who were dreamers. And they encouraged a dream, and they fed my dream. And I believe all of life is, you might have heard it said before, dream struggle into victory. For many people, it's a dream struggle and quit. And I found sometimes, people always say, well, so-and-so is going to be successful because they're naturally good with people or naturally talented in this area. And I've seen salespeople like this, you know, you've got the gift for gab, which I've never had. But I've heard people say, oh, you got to have a gift for gab if you're going to be successful because you have to deal with people or you have to have genius or something like that. What's interesting is that if I look back at a friend of mine at Cornell who was, I would say, probably a genius because the guy never studied and aced every exam, but he quit. And I've seen a lot of people that success came easy to them and that just as easy as it came, it was just as easy for them to quit. And I think, you know, for somebody like myself, I can't speak for everybody, but the fact that things did not come easy, it was all the more savoring of having that victory. So I chose to not listen to the many people who questioned my sanity for, you know, taking that Ivy League degree and a great job. And I loved my job in healthcare. When I first started, but it didn't take me long to see that that wasn't going to be my path. Now, eventually I started a company and have a healthcare company today, but that was never my plan. My plan was just that I wanted the freedom in my life to be able to spend it the way I wanted to. You know, Lynn and I, my wife and I, we had lots of things that we wanted to do. We wanted to do things with our kids and we wanted to control our own schedule. And, you know, we always went around and looked at homes and dreamed about the kind of home we would design and build and live in and the land, the space that we would have. I always liked my privacy and Lynn's the same way. So, you know, we had things that kept us motivated. We were around motivated people. I decided, I remember Les Brown, you might have heard of him. He's a motivational speaker, and I've had the opportunity to meet many people like him and Charlie Tremendous Jones and John Maxwell and people that are successful at developing other successful people, because many of the people that I've kind of aspired to look at as role models are people that they didn't succeed because they went to college. They didn't succeed in a traditional path. They got around other dreamers. They insulated themselves from negative family members or friends who doubted their ability or their sanity in pursuing what other people thought was a crazy dream. And I can certainly tell you in our journey, it's been negative people people who have been naysayers and doubters who we just kind of had to put up a force field. Dave Taylor used to play for the Baltimore Colts, and he used to say, you have to kind of look at it like a force field, you know, let the negative bounce off. And so I just learned to read the right kinds of material. I can remember Dennis Waitley wrote a book called Psychology of Winning, which my wife is actually reading right now. And in that, he said that I'm lucky because I'm prepared. And so what I looked at was the 6 years of failure. I turned it and started looking at it and saying to myself, maybe this is actually 6 years of preparation. I remember listening to an audio years ago by Earl Nightingale called The Strangest Secret. And in that, he said that if you take any subject and you study it an hour a day, in 5 years, you'll be a world expert. And I started taking that 5-6 years of failure and saying, you know what? Maybe it's not 6 years of failure. Maybe it's 6 years of preparation. Maybe that I was taking more than an hour a day studying audios, reading books. I wasn't a big reader early on. I had difficulty because, like I said, I was tired of reading books from college, but I love the audios and I love stories of people who went through that dream and struggle and victory. And I thought someday I'm going to be like those people. And so I took what I was negative about. My mentor used to say to me, Greg, you physically cannot work hard enough to overcome a negative thought process. And my personality is pretty melancholy. So melancholy people, you know, we're detailed. We can be negative, self-doubting, self-deprecating. And I certainly was. That's what that roller coaster ride was for me. You know, I'd be up when I'd get around motivated people. And when I was by myself, it was very easy to fall into those melancholy moods, particularly when I was going through all the struggles and not having anywhere near even a fraction of success that I wanted. But I knew that if I gave up and quit, I'd be in the current. And so I can remember talking to somebody years ago, and it's interesting that you named your podcast Fighting the Current, because I can remember a young guy who wanted to succeed, and him and I talked about partnering on a project, and he said, I don't want to feel like I'm constantly swimming upstream against the current. And he said, I feel like that's what you have to do to succeed. And, you know, for a moment it made me think, yeah, that's true. I don't like it either. But then I thought, what's the alternative? You know, dead things just go downstream. Live things, I'm a fly fisherman. The fish always go against the current. That's where the food comes from. So they hold their ground until either the food comes within their path and then they go after it. And that's kind of how it's been for me and for my wife. I mean, we chose to listen to the right people. We chose to take what my mentor used to say, you can't work hard enough to overcome a negative thought process. And we changed our thinking. It wasn't 6 years of failure. It was 6 years of preparation. It wasn't wasting time and money on books and seminars and audios. It was 6 years of feeding my mind to become that world expert that Earl Nightingale talked about. And so then I went into battle and I thought, I'm invincible. I mean, I'm a world expert. I've been 6 years. I'm like Superman. I can't fail because I've been failing for 6 years and there's only one way but up. And I think every entrepreneur that succeeds probably goes through something similar in their journey.
That is, Greg, that is so inspiring. A couple things that are inspiring. Just you reframing that 6 years of failure to 6 years of preparation. Extremely inspiring. The other thing is you quoting that in your early 60s, you and, you know, talking about Lynn, your wife, Lynn, still reading The Psychology of Winning. Like the fact that you're still so hungry to continue to stay on your game and succeed. I just have a question for you, Greg, for all the budding entrepreneurs, young and old, who are listening to this podcast. Because I know I've felt this way, I'm sure Aaron has, and I'm sure many listeners are feeling this way too. The question is it all worth it? You know, is it worth it to do what you said that person said to you at the time of, is it worth it to continuously feel like you're always swimming upstream, like you're always fighting the current? Is it worth it?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a new mentor today. My first mentor passed away. And, you know, he was reached a point in his career where he was millions and millions in the bank and decided to swim upstream again. He could have just basked in his success and just continued down the path that he was and take life easy. I mean, he lived in his name's Orton Woodward. He's written a book called Launching a Leadership Revolution, and in his book he talks about hunger being one of the most important attributes to anybody that's successful. And I look at him, who is far more successful than myself, younger even, and yet he's still got the hunger today. And he risked everything. He had millions in the bank and risked it all to start a new venture. And I'm like, you know, why do people do those types of things? I mean, why am I still doing what I'm doing? And because who wants to be complacent in life? Who wants to just wait to die? Gary Vaynerchuk, I've listened to a few of his things. He's not the most eloquent, and he'll use a number of descriptive four-letter words to get his points across.
You're not wrong.
But, yeah. But, you know, he'll say, hey, look, if you're 50, 60, 70, You might still have 20, 30 years to go. And is it too late? He goes, with technology today, like you guys are doing this podcast, you know, these things weren't even available when I started. We didn't even have cell phones when I started. You know, we used, what did they call them? Phone booths. We used phone booths, you know?
What's that?
I've never heard of that. In today's world, you know, we've got tools, technology, we've got medium, we've got travel, we've got the ability to do so many different things. And it's like, it doesn't matter whether you're 60 or 70 and just starting your journey, you know, or you're your guy's age, you know, in your early to mid 20s and you're starting. It's like, whatever that journey is, if God gives me 30 more years, that's a long time. I'd look back, and if I go back 30 years, I'd be in my early 30s. And so it's like, hey, if I get 30 more years, that's a whole lifetime. I mean, I've had a great life, my wife and I. This isn't our first trip. I mean, we've been to Europe 40, 50 times. We've been to Africa 20, 30 times. We've been, you know, around the world many times. And we've had a great, great, great life, taking our kids all over the world. It's just been fantastic. But if we stop now, what would we do? Watch TV, sit around, play games. You know, I mean, life is meant to be lived. And I love what a friend of mine, Chris Brady, says. You know, especially if you're born in America, you're born on third base. And one of my best friends, and who was a business partner for 30 plus years until he lost a quick battle to cancer, was always a great dreamer, Danny Smith, and a former Marine and just a champion of a guy. And, you know, he did what I want to do when my time comes. And he slid into home plate. I mean, the day before he went, we took him to the hospital when he passed away. We were up looking at million-dollar condos down in Cape Coral, Florida together. And, you know, he's struggling to get his breath. And we'd go to the top of these spectacular condos overlooking the ocean, and he said my wife wants a view of from the bedroom looking out at the water. So he was still dreaming the day before he passed. And you know, that's the way I want to go. I want to be able to live life rather than, you know, I hear so many people complain about life. You know, it's like they can't wait till the weather's warm because they hate it when it's cold, and then when it gets cold they hate it when it's warm, and they don't know what season they're in because they hate all of them, and they're looking forward to the next one. And when the next one comes, they hate that one. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, they don't, when they're young, they're complaining. When they're in middle age, they're complaining. When they're old, they're complaining. I'm like, hey, let's live life till its fullest. So, you know, I'm just fired up about the future. I mean, you know, I get the privilege, and I look at it this way. It is a privilege to be able to work with Danny Campisi and Aaron Thomas to help you guys kind of chart your path. And I hope it's not easy. And I hope you get strong enough to continue down your path so that whatever success you want. And I would say to anybody that's listening to this, that whatever age group you are, whatever background you have, whatever success you do or don't have, education you do or don't have, family life that was great or sucked, whatever it is, take that and use it for a path to look back and say, I made it in spite of the success my parents had, or in spite of the success they did not have, or the money we did not have, or the failures we did have. And to be able to look in the mirror and feel good about what you've accomplished, you know, and thank God that he gave you that ability inside that dream. I'd love to take the credit, but I'd have to say that, you know, now I'm a Christian. I know you guys are, but, you know, number one, just to be blessed to be born in America, when I, you know, we've traveled to so many places and done business in former communist countries and countries in Africa that had nothing. And we work with people from all parts of the world. So it's been a real honor to hear from people that have far bigger struggles than us just to survive. So being born in America was a blessing. You know, being able to have parents that at least laid some foundation for us, you know, even though we didn't have money, they kind of charted the path by, you know, taking themselves up and pulling themselves up from their bootstraps. You know, we started in small towns in Pennsylvania, my wife's family, my family. You know, her dad was career Army. My dad started in a kitchen doing dishes and worked his way up in the hospital field and, you know, worked in hotels and different stuff just to kind of get experiences. And so for us, it was whatever the journey was, it wasn't simple. But I'd say no matter who's listening and whatever age you are, or whatever background you come from, just go for it. And I would have to say that in my world, all of our success and thank you goes to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, none of it would be possible. And I'm looking forward to eternity. But while I'm here, I want to go for it.
That's so inspiring. That's awesome. Greg, thank you so much for your time. I know that we're wrapping up, so let's leave our listeners with a couple last questions. You mentioned a lot about how you fought the current going through your life. And you mentioned some people that they might have given up on fighting the current. What does it mean to fight the current in your mind?
Not let the negative creep in, because there's negative, and most of the negative that we experience is an internal battle. Why is it people come from nothing? I mean, really nothing, really poor. You look at a Dr. Ben Carson, who, you know, came from a single, basically ghetto community in Detroit, so a single mom that was illiterate. And for him to become, you know, one of the top pediatric neurosurgeons in the world, to people that, you know, came from lots of success in their family with wealth behind them and never succeeded. So I think, you know, the big thing is whatever your situation, positive or negative, who was the guy that wrote the book? Viktor Frankl talked about, you know, who was in the concentration camps, talked about it's what you put in your mind, and it's your mind that determines whether you succeed or fail. So not your circumstances. The thing you have to fight is you have to fight your mind and not go down a negative path, but look at all the blessings that you have, no matter how little or how big they are, and be thankful for them.
Awesome. Greg, you are a true inspiration. Thank you so much for your time, man. I really very much appreciate it. And the last question I really want to ask, because I know you have, I'm pretty sure you got a blog. Yeah, I know you got a Facebook, but we would love to give our listeners and the ability to continue to follow you and what you're doing, because with how motivated you still are. And let me just ask you one more question before I get to the final closing question, because I think this is powerful. And for people that are maybe close to your age, they're going to really, really resonate with this. What keeps you so motivated today? Because I've seen you work circles around people that are a half your age and work circles around me. So what motivates you today, like that you seem to be more motivated today than you were even 10 years ago, where you don't need the money anymore?
Well, the two simple things that I've learned and the thing that I'm so passionate about today are teaching two principles that people can succeed, that they need to succeed is. One is financial literacy. You know, it doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money or don't. If you can't manage what you do have, you're not going to have anything. And I think we've done our whole American society, in fact, probably our whole global society, a disservice. Because I've yet to see a program with all the money that's put in education today to teach the concepts of personal financial literacy. So to me, that is something I'm passionate about teaching and helping people to change their life. And that's the starting point, because in our world today, it does take money to live. And I've watched people that make six figures a month have nothing, and people that make, you know, next to nothing have a lot. So it's learning how to handle money. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is their thinking, what we call entrepreneurial thinking. And it's a different mindset. It's a totally different mindset. And that entrepreneurial thinking is the thinking of overcoming and looking to the future and being a visionary and being able, as you said, Danny, to reframe every situation that happens for you and see value in it and how it can benefit either you, your cause, your legacy, to be able to be of service to other people. So What motivates me today is seeing other people succeed. I think what made America great, if you've never been or have been to Ellis Island, and go and hear and read some of the stories of people that came here with nothing, what made America great and why people tend to kind of, I'd say, throw stones at our country because they're either jealous or don't like the success we've had. And I know there's been people in our country, we're not a perfect nation, but how did we in such a short period of time become as successful as we have as a nation? I think it's because our founders laid a framework that if you're driven and you're entrepreneurial, and it's really the backbone of America are small business people. They're people who are mavericks, people who don't fit the mold, people who will swim against the current because they realize that that's the only way you build strength. That's the only way that you really truly live is to go after something that nobody believes possible. And today, I think probably I even relish it more today that I have the success because today I know without a shadow of a doubt that the success we have wasn't given to us, that we earned it, and that you're right, we live differently than the average person or even than the above average person. But I see there's so much more because there's the guys like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and Orrin Woodwards and those kinds of people that have done amazing things with their life. And we're just chasing their tail to try to catch and do some of the things. I'm really inspired by Elon Musk because he's kind of really changed the whole, or maybe I read his autobiography, and it's like everybody that told him he couldn't be done, he's just proved he could do it and do it in shorter period of time for less money. And I just like the fact that you can prove somebody wrong. And that's what made America great. We were a great experiment. And I hope we can stay on that path to freedom. And rather than give people a security blanket, giving them opportunity to succeed and build their self-esteem and do something great once again. Awesome. So that's what drives me, guys.
That's a great answer, Greg. So where can our listeners follow you? Where can they connect with you in the future?
Well, I do have a blog. I have not kept it very up to date because I've been too busy traveling and doing, but it's gregjohnsonleadership.net. And we're on Twitter at, I think it's Greg Johnson USA, I think. I know I have it in. It's all technology stuff today. You know, you can find it.
Yeah, I do think it is Greg Johnson USA.
Yeah. So I probably am a little bit more active on that than I am on the blog because we've been busy and our companies are, you know, it's funny. I get in a stage where I slow down and then I get a stage where I pick up steam again. And right now we've just been picking up more steam because we're just fired up about moving forward. So I let some of those writing things go and I'm more in the doing stage. So,
right.
That happens. But those are two ways to reach me.
Fantastic. Well, Greg, I just want to thank you very much for your time tonight. I know you were having dinner with your wife prior to this, and I just really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for all the years of mentorship you've given me so far, and I'm excited for the future, Greg. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I look forward to someday getting to hear somebody interview you too, because I know it's going to happen.
That means a lot, Greg. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fight the Current podcast, your guide for living an extraordinary life in an ordinary world. We ask that you please subscribe and review this podcast as it helps a lot. We truly hope that you got value out of today's show, and we would like to sincerely thank you for tuning in. Also, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Fight the Current. Until next time, swim upstream and fight the current.